It took less than an hour to reach the cave, and thankfully the temperature had only risen moderately since their departure. Vultures rode the slow air currents under the sun. To the north, the walls of the ancient city of Lulan could clearly be seen, looking much like they did 2 millennia before. To the south, angry black clouds filled the sky. They'd moved much closer in the past hour. Because of the suspected toxins, Professor Hu had allowed nobody into the shade. He decided that he and Anya would go in alone, donning surgical face masks for protection. Anya followed Hu up the incline to the cave mouth.
Is it supposed to storm, Professor?
There's a possibility. Storms out here come and go quickly. Usually there's no rain, only wind.
That's good. If we go subterranean, we don't want to risk getting drowned in a flash flood.
The sand can be just as risky. It's as fine as powder. Wherever water flows, so will sand like this.
A burst of fear surged through Anya momentarily. She'd thought about drowning, and nearly had in the past, but the prospect of being buried alive in sand unnerved her even worse. As they crossed into the cave, Anya clicked on her flashlight and passed it over her surroundings. Remnants of the two men's gear lay strewn about everywhere. Evidently, whoever the professor had sent up to collect their belongings hadn't been tidy about the cleanup.
What about our eyes? Can't the drug affect us through the mucous membranes?
I don't think so. The poison Shao Ying and his followers used was probably Datura. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Datura was known to the Stone Age people. It was used as a painkiller and to trigger vision quests by shamans. I first read about that in The Clan of the Cave Bear.
You don't strike me as much of a pop fiction reader.
Whenever I can. It allows me time to think about different kinds of concepts than I'm used to. Sometimes they gel with other things I've learned.
Hu followed Anya's flashlight beam into the back recesses of the cave. Trailing after him, her boots shuffled through the loose sand that had blown into the cave. Suddenly, an idea seized her, and she felt foolish for not having thought of the possibility earlier.
Professor, the wind blows the sand into the cave. If there is a crack in here, it may have been buried over time.
What do you suggest?
Sweep the floor with trenching tools.
That could take hours.
Only if we do it by ourselves. You and I aren't feeling any ill effects. I say we put masks on everyone else and bring them inside.
That may be because the crack the powder was coming through is filled up. If we uncover it...
Professor, we came here to uncover it.
It took less than 1 hour to find what they were looking for. Anya used a square-bladed trenching tool, dragging it across the uneven cave floor as she searched for a tiny fracture that had let the poisonous dust up into the cave. In the enclosed, sweltering environment of the cave, her clothes had immediately become soaked with perspiration from the hard work. The mask across her lower face felt heavy and stiff from grit that had accumulated there as wet muck.
I found something!
Rue waved Anya to a spot on the other edge of the cave as the others gathered round. They focused on a section of the wall at the back of the cave. She aimed her flashlight at the wall and spotted the thin crack that ran 5 feet across the solid plane of rock.
Is this what we're looking for?
Get everyone out of the cave. We're going to need a chisel and a sledgehammer.
Seated in the cargo bay of the helicopter, Garin looked over at Guy and tried to hide his disdain for the Chinese businessman. He wasn't altogether certain he was successful.
We should go, now!
It's not time yet.
Not time? It's past time!
Garin could barely stop himself from reaching for the .45 holstered under his arm and putting a bullet through Guy's head.
Let them find their way into the labyrinth first.
I'm not sure the underground passages you say exist are truly there.
If they're not there, then what's the hurry? Anya Creed is good at what she does. If the City of Thieves is there, trust me, she'll find it.
The helicopter was stationed on the ground a little more than a mile from the mountains where Guy's spy had informed them the expedition had gone. Guy's guards had spread a sand-colored canvas over the aircraft, hiding it from distant viewers and providing some relief from the unbearable heat. Once they'd arrived in the desert outside the Lulan dig site, Guy's men had mounted machine guns under the helicopter, and a digital weapons system had been added that fed directly to the pilot's controls. Garin was willing to wager an egg could be fried on the sand, even in the shade. He removed a water bottle from the supplies and drank, the cold liquid rushing down his parched throat. Almost as fast, it began leaking from his pores.
We could go in there and take possession of the area.
And if the City of Thieves isn't there? If they're just examining an unrelated artifact?
We force her to tell us where the city is.
That woman doesn't work like that. She's made of sterner stuff. If she hasn't sniffed it out by now, we need to let her run with it.
One way or another. You said you could find the city with or without her.
If I have to, I can.
Garin was not entirely sure he was telling the truth. He'd translated the back of the belt plaque and even seen through the confusion of the surface message to find the deeper one buried within, but he didn't have the map of the interior. That was promised by the code to be found in some sort of child's toy. He hadn't figured out what that meant, let alone where it was.
Brayden here.
Mr. Brayden?
Yes!
She's found it.
Are you certain?
Yes. There's a passageway behind the wall at the back of the cave.
Then be ready. Guy, get your men ready. Now's the time.
Guy's eyes sparkled with excitement as his men swept the canvas from the helicopter. They began rolling the canvas as the rotors began to pick up speed. Garin hauled himself into the co-pilot's seat as Guy and his men clambered aboard. Less than a minute later, Garin flashed the pilot a thumbs up and the helicopter surged into the air. As Anya wielded the sledgehammer, perspiration streamed down her body. Dust, fine as talcum powder, stuck to her exposed skin and drenched clothing. Hu closed his eyes and turned his head away. His left hand was wrapped around the chisel poised at the center of the crack. The professor hadn't wanted the responsibility of swinging the sledgehammer while someone else held the chisel, so he'd volunteered for that task. Now he wasn't sure which job was worse.
Steady.
I am.
Behind Anya, Rue and Hu's assistant held high-beam lights that splashed over the wall. So far, she'd struck the chisel a few dozen times, and the crack they'd discovered was growing wider. Dust swirled from the chamber on the other side of the wall. Anya tried to keep her breathing even in spite of the exertion. She could only hope that the mask was protecting her against whatever poison might be seeping from the room on the other side of the wall. Setting herself, Anya swung the hammer again. This time, the chisel sank into the wall several inches. The crack split, fragmenting in different directions. Stone splinters peppered Anya's face. Still, the cave wall held. Hu tried to wiggle the chisel loose, but couldn't get it to move.
It's stuck.
Do we have another chisel?
Not one that big.
Hu's assistant knelt by the professor's side at the toolbox they'd brought in. The man held a far smaller chisel than the one that had become stuck. Frustration chafed at Anya. She couldn't wait to see whatever was on the other side of the wall.
Stand back.
Anya lifted the sledgehammer to her shoulder again, set herself up, and swung, putting all of her weight and muscle behind the effort. She drew back and hit once more, hardly able to lift the hammer. A pile of pebbles, stone splinters, and powder had collected where the wall met the cavern floor. Anya stepped back and dropped the sledge. She held her arms over her head to open up her rib cage and alleviate the strain on her lungs.
It's all broken, but the weight is keeping the pieces locked in place. Perhaps we could send for some dynamite or a plastic explosive.
You have those at the camp?
Yes.
The prospect of waiting that much longer angered Anya even further. She turned her attention to the toolbox and found a long crowbar, bent like a shepherd's crook at one end and slanted at the other. Returning to the wall, she looked at the pieces like they were a jigsaw puzzle. Somewhere in there had to be a rock that would give. Anya ran her hand over the cracked mass bound together by its own weight. She made a selection near the top, extending her hands well above her head. Then she tightened her grip on the crowbar and slammed the slanted end into the crack beside the spot she'd chosen. The crowbar sank into the crack a few inches. Uh. Anya tried wiggling the crowbar and didn't feel much give at first. She focused and concentrated, drawing all the strength she had. In her mind, she felt for her sword, almost touching it. The mere thought of its power sent a burst of energy through her body. Four or five rocks the size of Anya's head tumbled from the wall, sending powder swirling in the air. She stepped back just as the entire wall of stone fell towards her and into the cave.
You've done it, Anya!
Rue moved his flashlight beam over the hole her efforts had made. He walked forward, shining the light into the chamber beyond. Anya, Hu, and several of the others shuffled in behind him to get a closer look. The room was small and seemed to be, as predicted, a storeroom of some sort. Cloth bags sat heaped in arranged stacks.
If that's all poison, Xia Wuying must have been planning to kill a lot of people.
Not all the bags look the same. Maybe it isn't all Datura powder. It might include other herbs as well.
Look! There's a door!
Anya peered through the darkness and spotted a door leading from the chamber. She could only imagine what lay beyond.